Is it possible to be passive aggressive with yourself in your own communication?
Well, I'm finally good at something, right?
It's a tough one.
We should both be out having fun doing what we enjoy doing.
It's not easy to have the hard conversations, especially when you know it's going to create conflict.
We are so much better armed to navigate it.
I desire to be honest and transparent. It just simplifies your life so much. It's mind-blowing.
You know, one of the things that's really been heavy on my heart recently is just all of the passive-aggressive receiving that I've been encountering. And I know you have too. And we have talked about how it even drives me to look at my own personal boundaries and guiding principles. And if I'm being passive aggressive in any way, because I'm not honoring my own personal boundaries and guiding principles. And even in our relationship, like, have I been passive aggressive in any way?
No, fortunately not. I mean, that's something you're very, very aware of. And I don't feel like most people are actively passive aggressive. I feel like it's a behavior because there's a desire not to create conflict. A lot of people are afraid of conflict, right? And so it's a way to kind of protect the ego while still exerting what you desire to share without actually sharing it.
Yeah.
So it's almost like holding you in the victim mentality, but also putting you in the quote unquote domineering position for an argument, right? And so it's like, it's kind of a weird, mix, but that's why I don't think most people aren't consciously passive aggressive.
And talk about being divided in yourself. I'm dominant, but I'm afraid.
But
we all do it even when we don't realize it. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's where the inner critic just really, I've got you. I've got you by the crosshairs, and I'm going to play both sides of the fence on this one. And so I don't know why. Maybe I'm just more receptive to it right now, especially as we've been getting out more and more. But it seems like I've been encountering it quite a bit recently. And to me, that is a dead set. All right, inner critic really is playing both sides of the fence. And it caused me to go within and go, oh, how am I potentially doing this? And is it playing any part in our relationship? Mm-hmm. Because it starts there. But more importantly, is it playing any part in my personal relationship with myself?
Mm.
Right?
It's a great question. I never really thought about it. Is it possible to be passive aggressive with yourself in your own communication?
It is.
Interesting.
We do it all the time. Like, we think we're building ourselves up, but at the same time, we're tearing ourselves down. Right? Have you ever found yourself doing that? Like, oh, I'm so good at that. But am I really? No, I'm not really. Like, we can be passive aggressive with ourselves and feel like we're paying ourselves a compliment, but we're also, at the same time, it's a slight on ourselves.
Yeah.
Have you ever found yourself do that?
Yeah. Like, oh, finally I got it right or something like that, which is
exactly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Exactly.
I didn't think about it that way.
Oh, I'm finally good at something.
Yeah.
Right. Instead of being like, oh, I nailed that.
Yeah.
I nailed that.
Nailed
I
it.
Own that. Nailed it. Instead, it's like, oh, I finally did something right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so then we need to start going, all right. When we get into the realm of personal boundaries and guiding principles, which is a tool we want to talk about today, we have seen a lot more of that come onto the scene, people talking about how important it is to have them. But it's always directed to the outer world, right? Like, I have to have this so you, Austin, in our relationship, you don't cross my boundaries. And when it comes to guiding principles, which is how I'm going to engage with you, it's so that I make certain that I'm being a good partner to you. But what about being a good partner to myself, right? Like, I live in this body. I am a soul, and I live in this body. And so I have to have a partner relationship with my body, between my body and my soul.
Yes.
And I then have to understand all these layers of myself. When we talk about it, you have physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. Well, those are all different layers of me. And so I should probably make certain I have a keen awareness as to how I'm going to navigate those and have guiding principles that help me understand all those different layers and how they're going to integrate. And then personal boundaries, if I'm violating any of that, right? So if my emotional is violating my mental, how am I going to put a boundary around that and say, we're going to stop that? Mm. Because only when I start doing that, am I going to then be able to catch myself if I'm being passive aggressive and be a really good, solid partner to you and a really good, solid mother to my son and a really good active participant in the world around me because I know how to do it myself first. Right. Right.
Yeah. It's not easy to have the hard conversations, especially when you know that's going to create conflict. And so as you're saying, if you're able to practice with yourself in that way, it's, you know, you're already upsetting yourself. So, you know, in some way you're not really making
it big. I've already ticked myself off. I'm good.
So you can't make it really that much worse, but you know, it's a good way to at least, test it out and just see how, you know, can you start to ask yourself questions or at least position it in a way that, alleviates the perception and fear around conflict instead of like, okay, can I just reframe it to be constructive? Like it doesn't, just because you bring something up that someone else may not like, doesn't automatically make it conflict.
Yeah.
We put a projection on it with the perception that someone else isn't going to react to it well. We don't know how someone's going to react. And so I feel like, you know, if we start just yelling at someone, they might react. And sometimes, so, you know, if we yell at ourselves and we're kind of getting frustrated and that builds and snowballs frustration, okay, well, that's probably not the way to do it. So practicing different approaches that are a little bit lighter, a little more intentional and focused and have that emotionality to it, but also has some logic to it. So that way you can reach people on both sides. Because that was one thing I think you've always shared with me is like, it's really hard to speak logic to an emotional person. It's really hard to speak motion to a logical person. And so if you can kind of blend the two and get really good at practicing that with yourself, because we are all emotional and logic, it just depends on the percentage, right?
Yeah.
There's some version of 100%, whether it's 50-50 or 60-40, you know, 70-30, et cetera, et cetera.
Or 98.
Yeah, 90 and 2.
Yeah, yes. It's okay.
Exactly. So I think just having that ability to practice on yourself, find that somewhat balance between the two, and then start testing that when communicating with others might help bring a greater intention and then provide less conflict, potentially.
I agree. And if nothing else, once we start diving in like that and we really understand our own like internal world, personal boundaries and guiding principles, where personal boundaries are what we're going to allow in, guiding principles, what we're going to engage outwards, so we can think of it as that flow. Once we know that, then when we do go out, and we receive passive aggressive behavior, then we are so much better armed to navigate it and have a clear understanding of what we are going to do in those situations. Mm-hmm. But when we don't even know how we're going to handle it inside of ourselves, then suddenly it triggers us and our inner critic goes, ha, I have more fuel for the fire that I already have raging within you. So yes, bring it. Just keep bringing it. I'm going to take all of this. And just before you know it, you just explode on someone who may not have even realized that they were being passive aggressive. It was just something that their inner critic was feeding a little bit in them. And so here you are, you're going to explode on them, which is then going to feed their inner critic. and you've just set them off in a chain reaction. And then we get what you and I have been encountering quite a bit recently. And it happens, you know, toward the end of a year, beginning of a year, we get a lot of stress, and it just happens, whether we're aware of it or maybe we're not. Sometimes we put a little extra stress on ourselves, or others, we feel a little extra stress. And so it feeds in. And if we can consciously be aware and have these tools that we're talking about, and we'll dive in. Like, I want you to talk about the personal boundaries and the guiding principles that maybe you set for yourself. Because I think when we share them, we help each other realize, like, oh, maybe that's one I should have for myself. Maybe I didn't think about that one and it would be helpful. Then we're prepared, at least, for whatever we engage in.
Right. Well said. Yeah. And maybe as just a quick recap, would you mind kind of doing a slightly deeper dive into what a guiding principle is and what a personal boundary is, just to kind of set that context? Yeah. Just to, as we start kind of sharing some of ours, it just might help.
Well, you're a pro at this. So instead of me sharing all of this, you know, you've been through this enough now. Why don't you talk about it and then share some of yours?
Awesome. So guiding principles are how we interact with the world, and personal boundaries are how the world interacts with us. And so let's start with guiding principles. So one of the ways, like, for example, that I interact with the world is that I choose to be positive and focused on love, regardless of what is going on around me, as much as possible. Now, I know it's not like perfect 100%, you know, every time, but that's not what it's meant to be. It's, again, it's a guiding principle. It's something to guide you in what you desire to be and experience. And someone outside of you only has the ability to alter your inner state if you allow it. So a guiding principle can help you create more direction of your life and be more empowering from within. And so it's basically, that's not allowing someone else to determine how I choose to be, feel, and act in this world, regardless of what's going on around me. And so that's, it's a tough one because when people are doing interesting things like being passive aggressive, or whether it's in person or out on the road, you know, or just in general, you know, whether it's friends, family, or at the grocery store, or, you know, things like that, it's hard. But you can really create more of a constant in your life when you have a guiding principle that helps you choose your actions and how you guide yourself in this world.
Yes, very much so. And when you look at that across all layers of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So how do I choose to engage in the world from my spiritual standpoint, mm-hmm. from my mental, emotional, physical, like all these layers of yourself? Then you begin to really say, okay, now I have a direction where I choose to engage in the world in a loving and thoughtful manner. Well, you've gone through at least three of those four layers, right? You've got your spiritual, your mental, and your emotional, mm-hmm. really kind of solidified there. And even your physical, in many ways, you're going to do no harm. Mm-hmm. So now you have a clear direction across those layers and how you can begin to apply that. So if you find yourself or you catch yourself doing something that goes against your guiding principle, then you have to ask yourself, do I still believe in that guiding principle? Is it still fitting for me? Or what do I need to do now to realign myself to that guiding principle? Mm-hmm.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. I think another good one for me is I choose to be honest and transparent when I communicate to myself and others. That's a really, really key one. Being from someone, my goal was never, when I was younger, was never to be, you know, shady or anything. I mean, that's not really, but you know, you've been around and you see people talk about, oh, you know, white lies are okay. The problem is that where's that line? And that's a hard one. And you start to lie to yourself, you start to lie to others, and it becomes this snowball effect. And then it's just hard to keep track of them, and then it's just all over the place. And I got to a point where I fell into that trap, and I was lying to myself and everyone else around me, and I wasn't attempting to be mean or rude or shady or whatever the negatives are. It was just I kind of got stuck in that little, okay, white lies are okay. And so by getting to the point where it's like, no, I just, when I am speaking and communicating to myself and others, I desire to be honest and transparent. It just simplifies your life so much. It's mind blowing. And so what a great guiding principle, right? Because who wouldn't want someone else around you to be honest and transparent with you, right? And what a way to understand who you are within yourself. The only way to really fully uncover ourselves is to be honest and transparent with ourselves. And the more we are with ourselves, and the easier it is to be that with others.
Yes. I love it. Yeah. What about personal boundaries?
Personal boundaries. So how the world interacts with us. I feel like this is a good one because this ties into this passive aggressive aspect, right? Mm-hmm. Where people are maybe, you know, choose to be passive aggressive to you. It's like, okay, well, how do then I choose to respond to that? Mm-hmm. And so one of them could be like, I don't allow others to guilt me into doing something I don't desire to do.
Yes.
Like, I will not hold that guilt, because that's an easy passive aggressive. Someone wants to guilt you into something. They're passive aggressive about it. They want you to do something. And if you don't want to do that, it's, you know, that's your choice. You can say no, and you don't have to feel guilty about it. You know, you don't have to be rude about it, or you don't have to be mean or make someone else feel bad about it just by saying, you know, no or something, but there can be a gentle way to say no. And respect yourself, and that can be a personal boundary for you, that you just don't have to do all the things all the time. Yeah. If you want to say no, let's say someone wants to say, hey, let's go out and have fun tonight or something like that, and you're like, hey, I'm going to say no because I really just want to focus on myself tonight. I want to read a book, or I want to watch a good movie. I want some downtime because I've just had a crazy week, and you know, and then someone's like, oh, come on, it'll be fun. Like, just have one drink with us. And then it's just a good way.
It's only one drink, right? Yeah. Come on, we're only looking for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Or if you don't want to drink, great. You can be our designated driver. It's like, okay, no, I just don't want to be around other people tonight. And that's okay. And so you can hold that boundary and not give in. And because the problem is if we give in, then we start to, the guilt kind of hits at us. And we start to resent the other person, the other people. And these are our friends. And is that the type of energy that we want to have with the people that we're surrounding? Like, that doesn't sound fun. Yeah. Then it just becomes, it becomes a pattern. And we train people on how to treat us. And that's a key aspect in this. Yeah. And so that's why holding your personal boundaries in having them just in the first place is so important, because we're training others how to treat us. Hey, thanks so much for watching. We really appreciate it. I'm Austin, co-host here at the Heart Leader Podcast with Amber. And if you haven't already, please take a quick moment to like and subscribe below. It helps us know we're making amazing content that you enjoy. And thank you for your support. We'll see you in the community. Back to the show.
Yes. And I want to tag on to that.
Please.
Because yes, we're training others how to treat us, but we're training ourselves how to treat us. And that to me is why I think it's so important that we talk about how these apply to us, because the focus, and I keep going back to the inner critic, because to me, and so much of what I've experienced throughout my career, that inner critic, it has a huge part to play in how we treat others. Because it's how we're treating ourselves, and it's how we feel about ourselves. And that inner critic will get in there and will make us feel so much less than who we are. And it will cause us to be that passive aggressive person to ourselves first, then that kind of snowballs into how we treat others. And even if it's not a passive aggressive approach, it could just be aggressive. It could just be disengaged. It could be so many different things. But it is teaching us how to treat ourselves. And until we identify that and we have our own boundaries and principles for how we're going to treat ourselves, then it becomes really challenging to roll those out into how we're going to apply it with others. And so I want to keep coming back to that. We have to start here with this beautiful canvas that we have that is our own inner topology, that is our own inner world. So many faiths talk about it. So many of everything, books, self-help books, you name it. There's so much out there. But we say it over and over again because it is the basis for the beginning of so many things, including how we're going to move forward in the world. So can't say it enough.
It's beautifully said.
All right. Going back to your personal boundaries. Sorry, I know I took us on a little tangent there. But I want to hear another one or two of yours. So if individuals want to start to create their own personal boundaries, like say they want to stop this podcast and once it's over and they want to head on out and they want to start writing their own personal boundaries.
So what are some of your personal boundaries?
I have a lot, actually. I just keep acquiring them over the course of time because one of the things that's important to do is to revisit your personal boundaries and your guiding principles and take inventory and say, does this still resonate with me where I'm at right now in my life? Or have I experienced things that have caused me to need to add more? And often I still need to hold on to the ones that I have because they're applicable, but there are more that I need to add. And so as far as personal boundaries, what I will let in, I'm very focused on like energetics and all the different areas of my beingness. So the mental, physical, spiritual, emotional aspect, and I break it down in that way. So for me, one would be that I only accept loving touch, energy, and communication. And if I feel that I am not being in receipt of something that is in accordance with that, then I will immediately either inform or walk away. That way I know that it doesn't mean that I'm going to like everything I hear, right? It doesn't mean that I refuse to accept other points of view, or it's how it's being given to me. Now, if you're going to be disrespectful, you're going to be rude, you're going to be violent, you're going to touch me in a harsh way or touch me when I don't desire to be touched, then I don't need to sit and just receive that. I'm worthy of being loved. And so I will uphold that worth because I uphold that worth for myself. And so I doesn't mean I'm going to strike back out or say mean things and respond the same way. It just means I will let someone know, look, one of my boundaries is that I desire to be spoken to or treated or touched with love. And right now I don't feel like that's what I'm receiving. And here's why. And I think the why is always important to explain. Like, this is what's making me feel like this boundary is being violated. And so if we can navigate through it, wonderful. If not, then I feel like I'm going to need to remove myself. Doesn't mean anything's wrong with you. It just means this is how I'm feeling. And so I'm removing myself. Right? And so it allows us to be on the same page. So the individual isn't going to feel like, oh, I'm an awful person. They just know this is my boundary. And I feel like it's been crossed, even if they don't feel like it's been crossed. Because their boundary may be something completely different, and that's okay. We're just not in the same space. Yeah. Doesn't mean that they're wrong and I'm right. Doesn't mean that I'm wrong and they're right. It just means we're in two different places.
Yeah. I like that. And I think you bring up a good point, if I can kind of tag along is even, you know, I respect other people's personal boundaries and guiding principles so that it doesn't affect my internal. Like, because you may, other people are going to have different ones than you are. Yes. It's just how it is, right?
Right.
And the more that we cannot take it personal, the better.
Yes.
And so I think what you're saying is so, so critical because we can't hold everyone to our own. We have to be willing to honor and respect someone else's. But that's coming from outside in determining how we feel. So if someone else holds their boundary and they're like, hey, clearly, like for us in our relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a lot of the same personal boundaries and guiding principles, but there is a difference between ours too, because yeah. we are unique individual people. And right. And so if you hold yours, then it's my opportunity to say, like, I respect someone else's personal boundaries and guiding principles and choose not to take it personal when it's not the desired result.
Yes.
For example.
Exactly. And to me, that's where we have to be willing to say, it doesn't make you wrong and mm-hmm. it doesn't make you bad.
Mm.
And someone might think that for me, if I am one of mine was the guilt one, right? Like, I will not accept guilt for saying no when I mean no and yes when I mean yes. And so for someone to be like, oh, well, she just never wants to do anything. Well, that's not true. I love doing a lot of things. Like, I am a highly adventurous person, but it might be to them, because what they enjoy doing isn't what I enjoy doing, that we're just not in the same place in the things that we do in life. It's great that they love doing that. And I want nothing but tons of joy and happiness for them to go off and do that. But that's just not where I'm at. And so we're just in two different places on a journey that is an amazing journey in life. And so I'm not going to accept the guilt for not being where they are. And they shouldn't accept guilt for not being where I am.
Hmm.
Or we're both going to miss amazing adventures in our life, right?
Yeah.
We should both be out having fun doing what we enjoy doing.
I like that. And this is, I feel like the more divided humanity is getting, I feel like people are really holding on to this whole idea of right and wrong in so many different aspects. And when you have so many perspectives, right now we have over 8 billion perspectives.
Uh-huh.
And each one of those individual perspectives has multiple perspectives. So in some way, it's infinite, right?
Yeah.
And so how can we all hold to one perspective? It doesn't make sense.
Yes.
Yet we do that as organizations or as countries or as political ideologies or all these different approaches that we attempt to hold to one thing and say, oh, this needs to fit for everyone. It's like, that's just not possible. And so that's why I feel like what you're saying is, if we can understand this on an individual level, then we can scale it to a greater perspective.
Yeah.
It's something that we can start with ourselves. We can do with our partner or our loved one, or we can do it with our family, and then we can do it with our community or our business, or, you know, and keep growing and scaling and scaling so that we effectively communicate it. Because to me, that's kind of the last piece of this puzzle here, right? When we're kind of going over guiding principles and personal boundaries, it's great to have them. But if you don't take the time to effectively communicate them, then you're not doing your part either.
Yeah.
Right? And so, because we can't just expect that everyone's going to be a mind reader. Mm-hmm. We need to be able, if someone is kind of diving into something and then you feel like your guiding principles or personal boundaries are being affected in some way, that's our opportunity to step up, and a way of showing self-love, really.
Yeah.
And respecting oneself and then effectively communicating that to other individuals or groups of what you're feeling.
Yeah. And effective communication doesn't mean one-sided communication.
Boom.
Right. here are my personal boundaries and guiding principles. You are welcome. Yeah, right? It doesn't happen that way. It has to be like, hey, and I know when we did this at the beginning of our relationship, even when we were just friends, mm-hmm. like they changed when we were friends and then we moved into something more than friends. Mm-hmm. We really sat down and we took the time to understand what does this mean on this new level, but it was a reciprocal thing. Like, here are mine, and this is what this means to me, and this is how I see it engaging in our connection, because the personal boundaries that we have in a partnership are very different than the boundaries I would have with coworkers, are very different than the boundaries I have with my parents, mm-hmm. right? There is a difference in how we maintain those, because I'll be honest, I let you get through some boundaries in a different way than I allow some other people to get through boundaries. Let's, mm-hmm. you know, it just is what it is, because our relationship is deeper. Mm-hmm. They, you know me better than, say, someone I met 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to have a very different boundary set than I do with them than I do with you. But no matter what, part of that has to be the communication and the willing to listen in response. Like, okay, I hear your boundary, but this is how I feel in response to that. And what about this? And have you ever considered that? And that's where our personal boundaries and our guiding principles have to be. You have to be willing to revisit them. Mm-hmm. Because you might learn something that you didn't know previously when you set that boundary. And it can't be just written in stone. It's a growth process. It's always a growth process. And so I've learned things since meeting you that have shifted. Now, none of them have fallen completely off, but they've shifted some of my personal boundaries. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned and I've grown and I've revisited, and it's been a beautiful journey of inward growth through the process.
Thank you, my love. I feel the same. Yeah, and it's, I love how much closer it has brought us together, yeah. because in the same way it's important that you and I have our individual personal boundaries and guiding principles as a couple, and how we choose to interact with the world and the world interacts with us as a couple, that's also important. And so, and I think this would help a lot of couples that have conflicts, especially those who are different mm-hmm. in their approaches. Like, for example, if one person in the couple desires to be social 2 to 3 times per week, right? And the other person in the couple likes to be social maybe 2 to 3 times per month, you know? Well, how do you find that balance, right? And it's like, how do you dive into that without causing stress? Because if you go one or the other, you're going to create stress. Mm-hmm. And so how do you find a happy medium? How do you effectively communicate that, hey, this is what these are our individual ones. This is how we as a couple interact with the rest of the world. And it creates this relationship and this dynamic relationship as well, which is so important. Yeah. And so it's like, okay, well, hey, maybe this month we might be a little more social than you like because it's the holidays, right? Yeah. And then maybe after the holidays, you know, in January, when things, you know, a lot of people kind of partied out and they're socialed out, you know, we're just going to kind of, you know, curl back in and we'll be a little more at home and not as social as we were the previous. And it's like, oh, okay, great. Well, now I know going in, to each, you know, for the next 2 months or something, 2 or 3 months, that this is going to be a flow. And then I'm not, you know, the person who is not as social feels heard and seen. The person who is social feels heard and seen. And so it's like, and that's just one example. There's so many examples of that. Yeah. And so that could be in totally different things for each couple on how that would unfold. But I just want to paint like a picture so individuals, because that's really helped us understand how we choose to flow. And I feel like a lot of couples end up creating a lot of internal stress between each other because they're allowing the outside world to define how their coupling should be, look, feel, etc.
Yes, exactly. And social media doesn't help that a whole lot either.
Yeah.
You know, not to take a pot shot at social media because we love social media.
Yeah.
But sometimes when your couple, like your coupling, as you said, gets out there on social media and that becomes a thing, it's like, how does this look from the outside in instead of how are we creating this through tools like we understand how we're going to engage in the world as a couple from the inside out. That's a key thing. And if you choose to use social media, that's a beautiful gift. But make sure you're doing that from the inside of your relationship out and you're directing it. It's not they're coming from the outside in and determining how things and the dynamic are going to go.
So, well said, my love.
Yeah, big key. Now, I know in our next episode, we're going to talk about boundary violations and how to recognize when there are boundary violations, because when we've done this in coaching and we've had courses and workshops and we've done a lot when it comes to personal boundaries and guiding principles, because it is such a cornerstone and really getting to know yourself and then how you're going to be in this wonderful world that we're in. But one of the key things that individuals would come back over and over again and ask is, okay, I have these now, but how in the world do I know when someone is truly crossing over? Because I feel like they're crossing them, but then I would express it and they'd say, I didn't just do that. I didn't just violate your boundary. You're crazy. That fun thing we all love to hear, and the inner critic goes, ha ha ha, this is mine. You're crazy. And so how can you know or have any kind of awareness that, yes, that really is a boundary violation? Or, look, I just stepped over my own guiding principle and I've done something that I said I wouldn't do. Mm-hmm. How do we call ourselves out on that in a loving way and not in one that's going to go ahead and feed that inner critic? So we're going to dive deep into that. So you don't want to miss that. Make sure next week you're right back here tuning in to the Heart Leader podcast so our hearts and our minds can align together and we can dive even deeper into this.
Yeah. And I would say one thing that we can kind of leave everyone with, if they do want to take a deep dive into how to create their own personal boundaries and guiding principles, we have a whole section in our self-love course. It's an 8-week course, and this is one of those weeks, and Amber does a great job guiding you through the whole process. There's a downloadable worksheet. It kind of walks you through everything. So we'll put the link below for individuals if they want to purchase that and explore and really dive in. So yeah, just want to make that available.
I love it.
Awesome.
Any other nuggets of wisdom?
No, I think we'll kind of save all that for next week.
I love it. Well, thank you again for tuning in to another episode of the Heart Leader podcast, where our heart and our mind align. I'm your host, Amber, and I've been chatting here with Austin all around tools that you will find in a book that we will be releasing soon called Silence Your Inner Critic. You can jet on over after you finish this podcast to silenceyourinnercritic.com, where you can get 20% off when we do launch that book. All you need to do is fill out 2 little pieces of information, and you'll not only get 20% off when we do launch, you'll also get one of our best-selling workshops absolutely free. It is our mirror technique workshop, and you will get 7 days worth of little daily things that you can do, along with a video that I will walk you through the entire process. And then we also have lots of other fun stuff that you can explore that will be dropping out there. And actually, by this point, it might already be out there. So take some time and look through the meditations and the other fun tools that you'll find out on Silence Your Inner Critic. And if you haven't already done so and you really want to help us out, take a moment now and click subscribe down below. It helps us out more than we can possibly let you know. Every like, every subscribe, it gets us to a point where we know we're creating content that is helping you in this wonderful community that is all around uplifting one another in love and providing valuable tools that helps enrich our lives. Until next time, we look forward to chatting with you right here in the community.